Our sponsors this season are Dobie and Rollins Orthodontics. Excellence, excitement, and empathy, helping you love your smile. The Curly Hair Salon by Lavina Leslie, specializing in treating your curly hair with the love and care that it needs. Forever TV, the Establishment Enterprises music artist and author of 90 Days to God. They are the winning souls who are winning souls. Track Major Studios, your go-to source for music production, website design, digital promo, and more. And Rojen Miller, licensed realtor and property investor, handling all your real estate needs from buying, selling, investing, and more.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Freestyle Gospel, aka The Real Free, with another episode of Free Lunch. Today's episode is going to be... Stop touching stuff, DJ. Today's episode is going to be called Deeper Rather Than Wide. I got my man DJ to the right of me. I got my man Frank in the building. Normally, that would be followed by a sound of like hand claps, y'all, but my soundboard is across the room, so I can't hit the button. So I'm just going to give him a humble claps right there.
Appreciate that.
Humble claps. That clap was actually only for DJ. It really wasn't for you, Frank. Frank doesn't get
crazy.
Frank don't get any claps, guys.
We getting like started. a half clap?
We getting started, though.
Definitely is.
Frank doesn't get any claps. No, but you know what? I had to have Frank on the show. I was only going to invite DJ. I wasn't going to invite Frank. But then I said, you know what? I'm inviting DJ, and the subject matter of the episode I got from Frank. You know what I mean? Because Frank is a dynamic, awesome dude. Like, he's dropping gems all the time. So I appreciate Frank for that. You know what, Frank? You get a separate hand clap.
There we go.
So Deeper Rather Than Why, like when Frank first hit me with that, he was on the last season's episode. So make sure y'all go back and go check that episode out with Frank. I think it was called something of the Lion Tamer, something like that.
Yeah, make sure
y'all go check out that episode. But anyways, he dropped a bunch of gems. One of them was, which in the context of like working in our professional like life, you know, creatively, how you had to go deeper rather than wide when you were kind of managing a program. And I took it and kind of internalized it for like my personal relationships. And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks like that. And because I had like historically been an individual who was like, you know what? You know, kind of like making it in this sort of creative industry, I need to be focused on making like more connections, meeting more people, networking, right? We can get kind of network hungry. And that's where the focus was. But I think, you know, through you, God was like speaking to me and was like, you know, I've kind of already allowed you to cross paths and connect with some really dynamic, amazing people. And there's so much more depth to those pre-existing relationships for you to discover than for you to be worrying about trying to like meet another Frank or, you know, another DJ or somebody like that. Right. So it blessed me like that. That was the takeaway. So since then, I don't know how many months ago that's been. That was last year for sure, though, right?
Definitely was last year.
So over 6 months ago and up until now, I've been, like, just eating off of that, Frank. Like, daily, bro. It's always on my mind. Which is why, you know what I mean, jokingly, I, you know, bust your balls all the time about it. It's because you don't know how profoundly you impacted my whole psyche, just way of thinking. So for all the other, like, dynamic and creative people that I know, you being one of them, I'm trying to hit them over the head with the gym the same way you hit me over the head with it. Like, bro, I'm out here. I'm trying to, like, connect. I'm trying to, you know, like, DJ. Like, shoot, he hit me up. He was like, yo, so what's the next steps?
What's the move?
That was, what, yesterday? Mm-hmm. And then today, I'm like, shoot, I don't know why he figured out the next steps. I'm like, yo, DJ, you free today? Like, you could come jump on this joint, man. But I'm just meeting DJ. So, DJ, maybe share with the people, you know, my platform, who you are. They've already been introduced to Frank. He's been on the show.
So I don't know how to describe it. Like, how do I describe it? DJ McCauley, New Haven, Connecticut, PhD, owner of Athlete Alliance Foundation, sports consultant. Fundamental work is about student-athlete development, specifically social-emotional welfare of black males. I believe that I'm a psychologist and a sociologist by trade, but I don't know. We're still figuring it out. But tenure faculty, Quinnipiac. But yeah, homegrown in New Haven, athletics, academics, activism is the key.
You got one of them like lengthy resumes, like
Doctor Donald McCauley Jr.
Like I gotta figure out what to say at the right time. I got too many things to say.
Yo, you gotta check that episode, Frank. I had the president of the Bridgeport NAACP chapter over here.
Yo, I know what that is.
Resume like 2 pages, man. I can't even go through all this, y'all. But yeah, so Frank, what's been good with you, Frank? Lately, what you been up to, Frank?
God has been good, man.
Of course, all the time, all the time.
Business has been good. You know what I'm saying?
When you say business, what do you mean by that?
Part of my business is like professional speaking, keynote speaking.
Oh, okay. You did tell me about that.
This is graduation season that we still in.
We still in?
Still in it, yep.
About to be done.
You about to be done. It's like the little end of the end.
It's gotta be like the last week, this week, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, you know, I've been doing a couple of graduation speeches, keynotes, which has really been dope. You know, I did my first fireside chat too, which was crazy.
What is that?
Fireside chat is pretty much.
I loosely know what it is, but.
Yeah, fireside chat is pretty much, man, you have a topic that you're interviewed on, right? You got an interviewer. Kind of like a live podcast almost.
Is it other people there?
Yeah, it's all audience.
It's an audience, okay.
Yeah, a live audience. You get interviewed. I did mine on networking and the power of connection. Did that. Doing a lot of things for the first time. Mm-hmm. Joined the school board as well out here. So working on the school board. And then also, you know, just trying to be better at structuring my time and being more efficient so I have more time to get things done.
I can respect that.
Stop being humble, though.
Yeah. I'm not being humble.
Stop being humble, Frank.
How am I being humble?
I don't know what he means by that.
I know.
Come at him for that. I don't know. What do you mean?
Dr. DJ, please tell me.
So Frank does a lot. So I think today's podcast about like deeper and not wider. There's small details that he doesn't leave out. So we said he does a fireside chat. You just fire chat with who? The videography. Like how much you committed your time to other people's and highlighting their dreams.
Frank said the devil is in the details.
He's holding back on a lot of things that he did. I just say in my life over the past 8 months. Mm-hmm. So when he's being very humble and saying like he gave his time to highlight people's successes in intimate moments. Mm-hmm. And he's also done that as a career in his poetry. Mm-hmm. And also to even point, even though he's done keynotes, he had to step away from all his speaking engagements to do a lot of the videography to support other people's dreams, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I press on him. And I'm going to be frank.
Pun intended.
Mm-hmm. To be frank, like, I'm like, yo, get back to the work that we knew you for because mm-hmm. you gave your time to capture moments for everyone else. He really cultivated the deepness for folks that didn't have space for it, and he picked up the camera and just did it. Yeah. Videography, editing, and everything else. So when he says, like, oh, yeah, I'm just out here just doing some speaking engagements and just chilling. I got some graduation.
Yeah, a little song.
It's a lot more intimate than he's describing, and I just want to make sure it becomes important that he highlights those specific points because I think he's being humble with it, but he doesn't allow me to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna let him slide though.
This is that double-edged sword we talk about.
But I think, you know, when I first told you how it was impacting me, the whole like deeper rather than why thing. What do you feel like is the biggest, you know, for at least us as you know, where we I think intersect all three of us individually on like the creative plateau. From that point of view, or from that place, being such a dynamic individual and full of purpose and drive for the vision and, you know, work God has given you, what do you think is the hurdle, the thing in the way of you getting deeper with your pre-existing relationships now? And that's for both of you. I pose that question. Like, I'll answer first. I typically like to do that on my show. You know, so people don't feel like they just thrust into the hot seat. Right. I'll throw myself first. My biggest hurdle to going deeper rather than wide in the existing relationships I have is probably a little bit of imposter syndrome, residual left from, you know, the much greater degree of it, you know, or worse degree I had last year. You know, I think I'm out of the clouds of most of that. And then I think another hurdle is just simply being, I'm not satisfied with where I currently stand in the work that I feel God has, given me talent for. So like the things that I'm trying to accomplish in the creative space, I don't feel like I've done enough. And that feeling, what it could do then is cause me to be hyper-focused and like head down, like we was talking off camera a little bit, head down, hand to the plow so much that I rarely come up for air. Like, you know, my wife is to the point where, you know, talking practically or you know, more tangibly, you know, I'm to the point where my body has just been normalized to eat one meal a day.
Mm.
Like my body doesn't even get hungry more than once a day because for so long I would be, from the time I wake up to the time late in the evening comes, I just be go, 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 go. And then when my body couldn't let me go anymore and start punching me in the gut,
Now you get hungry.
Now I gotta eat and stop. And it's almost like I'm like irritated in the fact that my body needs food. Like, why can't you just suck it up, body, and let me keep working? Like, you know what I mean? So I think, you know, with me still trying to just even master just the very practical, tangible parts mm-hmm. of like learning to stop, come up for air, to, you know, do practical things like get good sleep, you know, feed yourself, eat. You know, and then now after that, right, that's, you know, moving from the inside out. So after I take care of my physical body, then the other people in my home obviously come naturally first before I go deeper rather than wide with anyone outside my house, right? So then I got my wife, then I got my 5 kids, you know, including the newborn,
jeez,
right? And then I could look at, all right, do I got time to shoot Frank a text? Do I got time for DJ? You know what I mean? Like, so for me, the hurdles are like those two things. If I could, you know, just simplify it, summarize it real quick, a little bit of imposter syndrome, and then couple with me just being not satisfied with where I am in the accomplishments, in the things where I'm using my gifts. And it's causing me to be so hyper-focused and so, like, you know, just head down on that where, you know, I struggle lifting my head up for air to look around and see where to connect.
Mm. I'm going to let Frank go first because I got something.
Yeah, I like that for you. I think that was spot on. I think for me, it's more so just being in a place now to start shifting the way that I work, the way that I look at work, right? You know, when you're used to being a hustler and your mentality is to hustle, right, to make things happen, you realize that you spend a lot of time hustling but not enough time being strategic about what you're doing, right? So I think for me, going from hustle is like I'm going from gig to gig, opportunity to opportunity, versus strategy and strategic is like, all right, this is what my quarter looks like. This is what my 6 months looks like. What do I want to accomplish for the year, right? What am I currently doing that's bringing me closer to those goals, right? So kind of like taking it, you know, I think you talked about having your head to the plow, right, and just being so locked in. And I think for me, adversely, it's more so about being able to pick my head up from the plow and start to be more strategic about how I'm cutting things and what I want to get done. So I think
for me, you are more strategic, you're saying that would then lead to you being able to go deeper in your pre-existing.
Oh yeah, most definitely, because
like time strategy, management. That's what it's sounding like, that like
strategy, yeah. Strategy, man. It's time management, it's prioritization, you know what I'm saying? It's sharpening your tools. You know what I'm saying? You can only go so deep with a dull shovel. You know what I'm saying? So if I want to go deeper, I can go deeper. I got to sharpen the tools and get deeper.
That's a deep line. You said you had a dull shovel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the capacity of what you're already doing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to add, and I for me, I think that I've always jumped in rabbit holes. I can dig a deep hole. I mean, farmer planting trees, like it needs to be 2 feet deep. How far do you go? How do you build your own ditch? And I've gotten myself in situations where I built my own ditch, and at the time I had to climb out of it. But I remember in my earlier life that I just had a lot of ideas. So I'm ADD. So I can go across the spectrum. So the conversation can start here, it can end there. So this is the wideness of the conversation. And so, but when you catch that idea that you really dive into, you can get caught. You can get stuck. And I think in my professional career now that I think the PhD taught me that. It's like you have something that you have to do. You have to dig it deep and then make it wide, which is different than trying to go wide and going deep. So when I think about being intentional in the things that I do, I rather be as deep I can, because it's going to connect to the word that no one used, and I'm glad nobody stole it, vulnerable. Because it requires me to dig a big ditch, whether for the benefit of the kids, whether the benefit of the community. It requires me going deep and diving into who I am. Because wide kind of tells me my range, but I already kind of knew my range. I just didn't know how deep I could go in the conversations that I could have with myself. So I think in this phase that I'm at right now, I'm like, sometimes it's scary. It's scary going that deep, because some of those realities become dangerous when I think about the PhD.
Talking about still, it could be scary going that deep in other relationships.
And yeah, like, because it's when you go deep, and I think like just interpersonal relationships, you don't really know when the dynamic's going to change. And it's different when it changes on the surface versus it changing and you already had a deep space in that relationship. Because it's vulnerable, it's intimate, it's violent, it could be assaulting. But you done built it down there so low.
Yeah,
Because technically, if you kept that on the surface and got wide in the ranges of things people do, travel, vacations.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But this ain't this surface.
What? I didn't even... Now that I think about it, since you said that vulnerability piece, or just not even vulnerable, I think for me the trigger word you said just now was scary.
Yeah.
I think that is also has been a big hurdle for me going deeper rather than wide. Specifically probably with even more so with dynamic people like yourself, like myself, because I think the stakes are higher. It's more you run a more likely chance of, okay, I decided to be vulnerable and pursue Frank, right? And go deeper in that relationship. But Frank is at a different point in his journey where he's not necessarily ready to explore that particular relationship or friendship deeper, right? So now that leaves me wide open with this vulnerability. And so now when, you know, if Frank don't answer my phone calls or don't get me back.
Now it's intimate.
Now it's like, oh, word. You know what, see? Bump this. I should have just kept my head down and hand to the plow, minding my business.
I get a scenario. Like, here's a scenario. So say, like, on a surface level, like, just say everybody financially stable. Uh-huh. You're saying, like, I'm willing to throw $1,000 into someone's thing. If you dig the hole deep, the horizontal and vertical and getting wide, you may say now, like, I'm willing to put $20,000 on this. So now that this is now a larger impact in terms of like investing in one's personal business, following the dream and the vision, but that horizontal can get messy because I'm 20 thou in. You either know what I got going on,
I know what you got going on, so I'm investing in your dream and the opportunity. But it's different saying 1,000, I could just lose it. It's almost like losing a friend. Yeah, I'm like, I could throw 1,000 away and be like, all right, cool. Like, it didn't work out.
But 20 racks?
But 20 racks? I'm like,
stakes are higher.
But now that's, I done dug the hole deep enough that I'm willing to make that specific investment. I'm just saying as an example, or someone wants to invest it in me. So now I become beholden to the relationship because it's deep enough. This ain't no surface conversation, but like, and I'm not gonna treat the 20K like it's one rat.
Yeah.
Just like we're in it. And that's the difference with saying going deep and then going wide at the time, because that's harder. Because the slings and the arrows, they're a lot sharper when it's a lot deeper than saying at a surface level. Like, some of this, I throw it away. Mm. You know me, like, I just like, all right, like, it is what it is.
Well, I say the antidote for that particular fear, or I really, in my experience, most fears, right? I think the antidote is always a changed mindset, a changed perspective, right? So what comes to my mind is, like, you know, this scripture that I usually like apply to many other contexts. I've heard it in my youth always be pertaining to money. I never in my adult life saw it that way. But it's that says, give expecting nothing in return.
Mm.
And so if I look at it and approach the going deeper in my existing relationships that way, now I act from a place of more so on assignment from God to do this, to connect, rather than on a mission of expectation. So now when I reach out to Frank or my brother or my sister, it's to simply just be used because I'm being obedient. You know, God put you on my mind today. I figure I'd reach out. And then that way, if you don't, because I have a different mindset, I didn't reach out with expecting anything in return anyway. I reached out to simply be a light bearer, to simply be a person to impart love, support. And then for those who are in the same space or mindset, then it becomes the reciprocated, you know, piece becomes like the icing on the cake. It becomes an extra bonus to my obedience.
When you talked about like just trying to make that decision about expectation, I thought more so to your earlier question about like, when do you stop digging? And I think about the scripture talking about just, and I'm paraphrasing, do not build your house on sand.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that I find as a skill, and Frank, you confirm for me, I love digging. I'm a disruptor. I'm here to move soil.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably dig more and try to figure out, is this firm foundation? How far can I go and then establish that foundation? Not that I have an expectation, but the question is, how rich can I make this relationship for a fundamental future? Frank, identifiably, we played in high school together, but Frank, in the last 2 years, my kid's his uncles.
What did you play in high school?
I was a track guy, man.
Really?
Yeah,
get
man.
The heck out of here, Frank.
I was a jumper.
Why are you saying
that? I'm not joking. I've never heard that from nobody.
It's the same perspective when folks said I play ball.
But I could see you.
You see basketball.
I could see you being a ball player.
Like, linebacker.
I mean, we all played basketball growing up, but you was in track?
Yeah, I was running, legit. Man.
Like a sprint or,
yeah, legit, or long? Legit, man. Long, well, middle distance.
Okay.
400, 800, 600.
Still got some speed, mileage. Big boy can move.
Man, it's all about the, how you use the tools, man. It's all about the tools, man. My body can still do things.
Love
I'm agile
it.
Still. But yeah, man. Southern Connecticut State University, SCSU, shout out to my owls. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But yeah, man, like track. That was my life at one point. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about like going deeper rather than wide, you know. One of the things I had to learn, so track was something I fell in love with. And, you know, from like really high school to college, like I competed in like hard body, gave everything to it. So, you know, like a lot of athletes deal with this thing now, what happens when you're not running anymore, you're not training anymore, you're not competing anymore. For me, my track career, like, stopped short. You know what I'm saying? So the depth of everything I did was like, yo, I got to get better. I got to run. I got to boom, 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 and get this scholarship. I'm going to go down south. Had an offer from Hampton to be a triple jumper. Like, it was lit, right? But, you know, injuries, coaching issues, all of that stuff kind of stopped that for me when I was at. So my whole purpose and identity was wrapped up into being an athlete for a while.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then once – that was me going deep, right? That was me going deep for a long time. At least I thought it was me going deep. So what happens when you have to go deeper past something that you thought was your identity, right? You got to dig beyond something, you know? So I think for me, really going deeper meant really tapping into, like, you know, well, what's my purpose outside of being an athlete, outside of running – and, you know, you find that for me, it was community. It was youth. It was youth development. It became education, you know, and the deeper I went with that, the more opportunities like happen. Right. Yeah. I could have spread myself a lot thinner during that time and end up just going wide, trying to refine myself, try different things. But something in me, man, was like, no, you got to. Now that you're not doing the sport that you love, right, and you're kind of stepping back from it, you know, what's beyond that? And I realized, even though I was using track to dig and lock into my identity, you know, I was really sharpening my purpose because everything I learned on the track I took into life. I took into how I work with people, young people, like grown folks, coaching, how I interact, how I strategize. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really interesting to think about, because I think I love this whole concept and topic. And we talk about, you know, taking a step further. Like, I know in this season of my life, thinking about all the lessons that I've learned about going deeper, and to kind of echo DJ's point, you know, it is an investment, but it could also be a gamble, because you are digging deep with expectation that someone's going to be digging there with you. Yeah. And sometimes that don't happen.
But that's the danger of the expectation, like the one I brought up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Change mindset, right? Make it not be about expectation at all. You know, having it now be a model, a blueprint for the way I live life and interact with the other human beings on the earth is just with intentionality, with mission, even if you want, rather than expectation, right? Like, I do this just because I am, like, right? Like, I told you know, I have a few couple friends that, you know, occasionally confide in me and talk to me. You know, we talk about our marriages and things like that, and communication is a big topic. The topic of love, you know, broadly is a big topic. But many times, like a gym guy gave me a while back in my marriage was, you know, when people use the word love or say, hey, I want you to love me, or even I'm trying to love you, it's heavy with undertone of expectation, right? Mm-hmm. And I worded it, God gave it to me to word this way to a particular couple was, be love just the way the sun is the sun in the sky. And by that, I mean, it doesn't matter if those of us here on the ground like the sun, maybe some of us like the shade. It don't matter if some of us don't
Team
even,
shade.
It doesn't, look it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many of us here on the ground shake their fists up at the sun on a super hot day. It doesn't matter if some of us want to accuse the sun of anything and everything, right? The sun is going to be what the sun is just because it's the nature of the sun. The sun is going to be bright. The sun is going to be hot. The sun is going to have these attributes, and they're immovable no matter what's happening around the sun. And so that was my sentiment was just to that couple was be the son. Be the son. Oh, but you know what? You know, I try to be this way and then they're not acting right. Or then, you know, I try to, you know, have the house clean when they came home and then they ain't even acknowledge it. So I just said, forget it. Then be the son. The son is going to show up tomorrow the exact same way with the exact same characteristics because it just is. It's immovable. And so in that way, when I'm, you know, sort of paralleling the danger of like us carrying this going deeper in interpersonal relationships rather than why, and kind of our protection against the fear and the gamble, how you said, right, is changing the mindset that now it's not a gamble at all because I'm going into it without an expectation. I'm going into it for the sake of being the light bearer.
I'm about to add to this right quick because I think you said a great point, like the sun being unmovable. And as we were talking, I thought about the analogy when Frank gave the sport analogy. I took my daughter swimming today. I said, you figure out character in the deep end of the pool. Mm. And what happens to all bodies? Less on, when you jump in, you initially float before you drown. You initially come to the surface before you drown. Wow. So all the diving pools be at the deep end. Because that's where you got to jump in at. Mm. And the question is, if you on that pole and you can't swim, then you got to, that's the fear moment. What's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to float initially.
Yeah.
But you're going to have this buoyancy and you're going to fall back into the water. It's good. But that's the reality. But you only figure out how good you are in the deep end of the pool. You don't figure it out. You don't figure out you can swim in 3 feet or 4 when you walk in the pool. You're going to have to jump off that diving board at the deep end and figure out what's the reality. But we know that God's favor. God says, I'll let you float for a moment, but I'm going to need your character to figure out what you're willing to do here. I'm going to need to know that you're going to fight to get to the edge. And next time you jump in here, you got some real skills to be able to swim.
Some real skills
to dive into this thing. Wow. Because that's the deep end. And I've never seen nobody jump in a pool that don't flow initially and then they drown. That happened in the ocean. Jump in, you come back up. I mean, the only way that we hear your call in our peer groups is because you don't yell from underneath, you yell from the top. So something is allowing you to bring you back up for a moment to figure out this not your strength, or you need to figure something deep out, but you only figure it out in the deep. And that's why I'm like, for me, I don't know, masochist or anything else. I always figure it out in the deep because I can't play the real games I want to play in the shallow area.
Well, keeping on along the lines of the interpersonal kind of relationships, right? Do either of you have a fear of not being taken seriously?
Wait, go ahead. A
fear of not being taken seriously?
Yeah, and I mean that, and like I said, we are along the lines of interpersonal, relationships. Like, so I mean that whether creatively or in professional, like, circles, in your family maybe, in any area of your life, do you have that worry of not being taken seriously?
Not anymore.
Nah. He in a better suit than me.
Yeah,
what'd you say?
He in a better situation.
Oh, a better situation. Okay.
Yeah, I think for me, I don't. There's a phrase, man. Never green light anybody to play with you. Tell them to play with toys, but don't toy with you. And that's how I look at it.
Okay.
So, I come in.
But you said not anymore. So there was a time.
Yeah, there was a time. Yeah.
Okay.
There was a time.
And so maybe help me, right? Because I'll get to me next. Mm-hmm. I struggle with that a little bit still, and I'm sure some of our viewers or listeners may also, what happened for you, or how did you go from it being a thing of just the past now and then that not being an issue for you, nothing that you worry about?
Yeah, because I know my body of work. I know what I've had to sacrifice to become qualified at what I do. Mm-hmm. And then when you've just been in some real serious life situations, you look at what you survived, and it makes you realize, well, I survived some crazy things. I've been in some crazy situations. So I'm pressured by default. I think to become pressure, you have to go through pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the coach is talking about pushing P. That's pressure. You can't understand pressure unless you went through it. So to become pressure, you have to go through pressure. So I'm pressure, and I apply pressure when necessary in my professional spaces. I put my 10,000 hours in, so I don't doubt myself anymore, you know, and I know that when I go into a space, whatever space I'm in, like, my resume speaks loud, and then what I say, how I present myself validates that or even speaks louder, right?
So you don't even have, like I'll go down the rabbit hole a little bit with you. Would you say it is true that there exists a space creatively in the line of what you do? There exists a creative space in that line bigger than the spaces you've already done it in.
Yeah.
There still exists that, right?
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Would you say when you enter in the future that larger space, that there's not even a small worry of that in that space?
Because I'm supposed to be there. Nah, because I'm supposed to be there.
Of that.
I'm glad he said that.
I'm supposed to be there, man.
I'm supposed to be there.
Let's say I walk into the room like God sent me there. I'm supposed to be there.
He taught me that, and we were at the Black Enterprise. And I think about...
That was fire.
I think about why. So when I went through a phase of, do I think people take me seriously? I realized that there were inconsistencies in my character because you're trying to be too wide. You're trying to do too much. So you think about someone's character from like the comedy, the seriousness. And then there was a time in life where I just became direct. Just in life. Because people look for consistencies. And so I think about, they don't know who the serious person is because God bless you so much, you're so talented that they can't figure out who you really are.
That's a fact.
Are you the athlete? Are you the politician? So when you're given so many gifts, there are people that are trying to figure out who you are in space.
That's fire.
So they don't meet you at that right time. So they meet you at like as an athlete.
Hold on though. But the way, and I don't know if you mean it to come off this way, but are you saying like that's wrong?
No, because
somebody will say, you know, you're doing too much and take that with a negative connotation.
But I
feel like in many ways, I'm doing too much, right? But there's a part of me that thinks because I'm made in the image of the Most. So that's why I'm doing so much.
But I think that becomes the question about the deeper self and figuring out who we are, because there may be a person that sees me in this specific space that has an identity or has an idea about me. But I'm also, they see me another day and I'm somewhere else. When you get confident in your deepness, you don't even worry about how they figure what this is. They'll figure out later on, he can be an athlete. He can be a dad. He can be an activist. He can be a politician. He can drive cars. He can throw the dump out. Whatever he needs to do.
Yeah.
Then after a while, they have to recognize your uniqueness and your unicorn moment. Like that's just what it is.
Serial creative.
But there was a time where it's like if they only know you here, this is the athletic identity.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you conform to that specific identity because that's the only way they take you seriously.
It's real.
So when you get serious with yourself, that's when it matters across the spaces that you control and have operation in.
Yeah.
Versus saying I'm only gonna operate in the spaces that folks take me seriously in.
Yeah.
And then I make myself small for everyone else because they don't take me seriously in the space.
Gotta make yourself palatable.
Yeah. And that whole
you look
whole,
you look too young to be real. Here. I'm like, what you mean?
What?
But I'm qualified.
Qualifying.
God sent me here.
I'm supposed to be here, man. Like, look, supposed to be here. I was built to be here. I was designed to be here. Like, I started thinking because you know, so much in life is I don't say pomp and circumstance, but it's a little clout in life, right? You get positions of power, influence, fame. I don't even like that word, fame, but you know, you know, right? And that's social power, social capitalism, social power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much of these things.
Social capitalism, that's deep.
Yeah, so much of that is what, so much of those terms are what we assign power and knowledge to. What we assign power to, right? Like positions, all of that. And we realize we all are human beings and that we all are on a level playing field, right? We just all grasp and deal with power differently, right? And we learn how to navigate it differently. You realize it's a game that you have to play the game or get played by the game. And in order to play the game, you have to go deeper rather than wide. If you go wide, you're going to get played. If you go deeper, you're going to be one playing the game.
There's a movie called The Gambler with Mark Wahlberg. There's a line that he said, when did you know you were good? When did someone tell you you were good? And he was talking to like an athlete that was in a hockey class, and he was like number one in the country. He said, did they tell you that you're good? And when did you realize that you were like that?
Yeah.
That's one of those, like you say, like the mindset shift.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't need adulation to let me know when I show up in the morning how phenomenal I'm about to be today, versus like, I need affirmation. And I think some folks just operate like that. I mean, I'll say, like, we talking about I Am Legend of the day. Mm-hmm. If nobody was here to tell me I'm good, does that mean I should stop? Wow. What do I need to do to fortify and meditate on myself and celebrate my divine space?
That takes such a resolute mind, bro.
But that's what we don't always have as Black people is we do not have the privilege of reflexivity in our own personal life. This is what I do well. This is what I do. I don't do well, but I'm saying I've spent enough. I mean, maybe the PhD did that. I spent enough time with myself to saying, this is what you're good at and this is what you're not good at. So when you show up in rooms, you kind of already know, like when that next stage comes, you already kind of know what your go-tos are. Now, if I get there and realize that they all know this, now I got to figure out some new tricks. Mm-hmm. I got to figure out how to dig deeper into what's there, because my skills are connected to a calling.
Yeah.
And so if I can't avoid that. But I have faith in them saying that if I can still stay steadfast in my actual purpose, it's going to happen. It might not happen when I want it to, but... like, that's unmovable. Same with your son. Like,
love that. Love that. Dang, yo. It reminds me of that quote from Muhammad Ali, too. I've said it before on the show where he says, I was calling myself great way before I ever knew I was. So that goes into a whole nother conversation just about speak those things that are not as if they were.
Interpersonal relationships, thinking, man.
So like, is he like...
I speak it before you see it.
He does that.
Yeah, man.
My advisor did that. Before, he would call me doctor way before I ever graduated.
Big facts.
He's seen it. He would do the same thing. And so when you have, about, like I'm reading a couple pieces right now talking about positive interpersonal relationships, when folks speak life before it ever happens, because their anointing and call may be that.
Yeah.
To be able to see something in me that I could not see in myself. Yeah. And those are the relationships that I want to maintain.
Or just the power of like you knowing the power of just words. And many times we don't know the power of our own words. We put too much focus on other people's words over us.
Mm.
But I think that could also be right. The gift and the curse is right.
Clap that real quick.
For a person who doesn't know the power of their own mouth, may they be blessed to be surrounded by people who do know the power of their words over them.
Yeah.
Over that individual who still does not know. Yeah. Right? Because so while I'm still learning how to speak on my own behalf, I have people like yourselves who know the power of your words over me to go, hey, you don't know how to do this yet. You still... building up that muscle in your mouth, but I know, you know what I mean. So let me speak into you, over you, like I know you've done for a bunch of these youth.
Yo, I got a story. Like it just happened. We talk about what you speak into people. So I was at this spot called Next Haven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haven is this dope organization. They got a museum slash creative space. Yeah, shout out to Jay Kemp.
Yeah.
Community manager, community programmer over there. So I'm in this museum. It's an exhibit that's happening in there. And I'm having a conversation with this
young, is like recent.
This recently, fact, like last week. Having a conversation with this young lady and then this other individual, and then the newspaper is doing an interview in there on folks that are just talking about the pieces of art that they're seeing.
Yeah.
So I go out and leave. I'm going to connect her to another homegirl that I have, right? Because she's doing a documentary. So as I walk and go talk to my homegirl to connect her to the woman I just met, this young girl stops me and says, "You're Mr. Brady, right? Oh my gosh, I haven't seen you since high school." And I'm like, "I remember you." Like, mm-hmm. I don't forget kids too often. She said, "You might not, you never knew this, but when you see, like, run your after school programs and, you know, in the library," she said, "one time I was having a rough time and we had a conversation and you said something to me." And I didn't even remember I said it. Oh, I said, starve your fears and feed your faith. Right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And she got that tatted on her back. She got that tatted on her back. And she showed me the picture of it. I was like, "What?"
Wow.
She said, "You said that to me," and I got that tatted. And now she over here at UConn about to finish up and everything like that.
Wow.
And that just blew me away because
starve your fears
and feed your faith.
Feed your faith.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. So what we say can literally change the course of somebody's life, our interactions on a daily basis. I had no idea I had that impact. Just saying that. You know what I'm saying?
One of your biggest skills have always been words. And I think about yesterday, like, when we were having a conversation, there was a young girl here today, and we were talking about, she said, how can you know me? And I said to her, I was like, well, if I see your, I mean, human behavior, like, I can see your physical behavior. I can tell you what you like, what you don't like. I can tell you if you being your authentic self or not being your authentic self, and how you discern different conversations. Those are important skills where you have folks that you may have discernment for that moment. Something just, God took your tongue and decided to say this to this person versus saying, I gave you a skill to be able to see deep into them and something and the possibility they do not have for themselves. To be able to see a reality that will one day come to fruition, but it's not in their specific preview. And I love that ability and skill when I bring them to classrooms, whether it can just be abstract or creative art, or maybe it's a manifestation of my own educational struggles, that being able to see and speak into life into those specific moments means so much, because that's your superpower. Because you know, part of, for me, I say, like, you know, most spaces are not speaking that into them. They're asking them to be consumers or to have specific forms and shape in that specific space. But when you can say, I can create a dynamic in your life that you do not see for yourself and that the institution that you're connected to doesn't see it for you. I can allow you to have that, not because I can monetize it, but because I know it'd be a benefit to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you mentioned monetizing that. So that made me think of my last point. I got to see how much time we got. I'm going to try to squeeze this one in, man, before we have to wrap up. I came across a quote from Floyd Mayweather. This quote right here.
Floyd?
Yeah. It wasn't a quote, actually. It was, I mean, it's his, okay. It's his quote, but it was a video I was watching where he was talking. So I'm paraphrasing. But he was talking about, they were talking about, like, getting the bag, like, you know, having money or whatever. And he said, he can't be friends with you if you got the bag, but you don't show him how to get it. And so the story he kind of, like, he mentions in this particular, like, podcast or the interview was, you know, another big celebrity, I think it was a music artist, would, like, I guess had befriended him, you know, once he, you know, he was on top or whatever, you know, started, you know, to gain his own fame. But still, like, you know, not been the money bags Mayweather that we know today yet. But, you know, this particular celebrity, you know, person would, like, you know, always have, invite him to their house, invite him to be on their yacht and all this, but wasn't giving him, I guess, game on like how to like, you know, manage his money and so he could have that same wealth.
The same back.
So he was like, you know, that's nice that you got a yacht. It's nice you got a nice house, but I want a nice house. Like I want, you know, some of those things. So he was like, you know, we can't be friends if you got the bag and you don't teach me. And you know, we could kind of, you know, kind of steer away from it being like a narrowed principle like that to just kind of really just even deal with only money. But I think the principle at heart, the sentiment rather, at the heart of that message is if you have success, I'll use that word rather than using the bag, right? Because that's about money. But I'd rather use the word success because success is relative to every individual person, right? All right. Right? So that could not have to deal with money. But mm-hmm. if you got like success in your marriage.
Got it.
But you see mine failing and you don't give me game as another married brother, like how can I enjoy the same love and joy and happiness in your, you know, right. my marriage like you're doing? And you don't ever like give me that game or ever like, you know, try to impart knowledge or that wisdom to me. You know, you could apply that the same, you know, concept with, you know, whether it's raising kids, whether it's, you know, how to run your business. You know what I mean? Like, oh, free. You know, I know you recently went full time as an entrepreneur. Like, yo, so what do you use for like your invoices and stuff? Like, I had other thankfully connected entrepreneurs I was with that when I made that decision last year to go full time as an entrepreneur, they gave me that game. Like, hey, so this is the software I use to like run my billing, like invoices. Yo, free. Check this out. Go, you know, look this up. You can get this for free. You don't got to pay for it. This is the free version right here. Like, I appreciated that. And so when I heard that, that like resonated within me, big facts. Like, that's not true friendship in my mind. Like, if you know I'm in the either slightest vein or, you know, area of my life that you, you know, traverse and you have a measure of success in that, give me some of the game.
So I'll say it like this, and I think I'm a little more hard pressed than I'm a little more direct than Frank. So I would say it where Like I use the money standard, and so the money standard suggests that how do you generate an asset, how to protect an asset, and how do you distribute it for generational wealth. So okay. I'm using the money example, but the reality is like, how do I have collective conversations with uncles and family about how do you develop an asset in your relationship? How do you create your children and help build your children to be assets for the family, assets to themselves?
So help me first by letting me know what's your opinion with the sentiment.
So do you agree with that or no? I'm about to agree and disagree. And
okay.
I'm not being contrarian, but I would say for example, you said I wouldn't call them a friend if they didn't share their advice with me. I know I'm gonna have friendships that do not, they are not assets. I got some. I mean, whatever.
Oh no, but then are those actually friendships?
Now we gotta
have a working definition that we agree on as friends.
So you know, here's the question. I'm saying that there is a ship that's there. I'm gonna say it as a boat, right?
It's a ship.
But what I'm going to do in that relationship in removing
might be a canoe.
In removing the expectation I have. So what I said, I remember it's like we had this conversation one day. I said, I stopped trusting people a long time ago. I'm gonna let them show me what they own, right? So I'm saying to me, it's like I removed expectation as a whole. I don't. He say gonna be on time. It's his word. I'm not going because early in my life I was getting mad because I had high expectations of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I was getting mad, it was.
We should expect Frank to be late all the time.
I'm just saying that
you expect Frank to be there. All the time.
I respect him to be there, but I don't expect expectations. So when
he's gonna be there.
I'm saying part of my.
He'll be there.
We talking about like I say. Let's think about relationship as contracts. I expect them to do what I've seen them do.
I expect you
to expect what you expect of me. So if you know I'm going to be there, that's what it is. I don't need you to be me. I don't need you to provide an expectation that you might.
That's deep.
I'm going
to
be me.
You might have to run that back.
That's what it's going to be.
I don't need you to be me.
I need you to be. I need you to be the best you. Because maybe in this dynamic, I may just be here to help you.
You know how many people fall into that trap, Frank?
Yeah.
Expecting people to be them.
Exactly. And they're not built the same. But that's part of that.
That's part of that conversation where it's like, if I had that bag and I knew how to get to it, whether it's real estate, whether it's money and stock, you'd be like, yo, show me how to get to it. Because we ask the same question. It's like, how do we build foam? If I knew someone that knew how to do that and you see me, I'm interested, and you didn't tell me, I'd rather you show me who you are versus me expecting you to do something that you wasn't really want to do.
But then would you call me your friend? Oh, no, you said it's a ship.
It's a ship.
That's not friends.
Friendship, colleague ship.
I actually don't have friends. I have family.
We skip all that because
I rather feel like if we keep doing this enough, and every time you teach me how a new thing, you coming to the cookouts, you gonna be running the kit. We family. I don't bring nobody around.
Hey, that's now Uncle my business. Free.
Yeah, right? That's what it is. We family now. So
Uncle DJ over there.
We're not doing that. So I don't have that middle ground space.
Yeah,
friendship is a middle ground space where someone has to figure out, are they an asset or are they family? Because everybody in the family ain't assets.
Mm.
But they family through blood.
That's real.
Dang.
Sometimes you got family that's liabilities.
You know where to put them.
That's real.
Even Jesus said, "Who is my mother?"
That's real.
Who is my mother?
That's real. Stop.
Yo,
that's real.
Yo, we gotta wrap up, but that's why I gotta have you fellas, man, back again. Like I always tell Frank when he come through, man. It's never a dull moment, bro.
Not at all.
It's never void of dropping the gems. But that's what I also, because I'm a big advocate of telling people, yo, I talk about you to your face. If whatever I'm saying behind your back. So I'm going to tell you right now, before you got here, Frank, I was mother effing the heck out of you to DJ, bro.
He didn't do that, though.
I was like, yo.
He exaggerated.
He exaggerating?
He's
hyperbole.
Maybe a little bit.
He didn't use the MF.
I was.
He's gonna choke you though.
Irritated with your hind, but I said that I told DJ though. One of those reasons is because Frank knows I'm not a shoot the breeze type of dude. I'm very busy. Like I said, when I wake up, I wake up married with 5 kids, and then there's everything else that people know Free do. Okay, so I'm very busy, and because of that, it's caused me to be a very direct person. And intentional with my relationship. So when I reach out to people, when I try to connect with people, I'm not connecting to BS or waste your time. I'm connecting for something dynamic, for a reason. And, just catching DJ up to speed from the last couple of times that you and I have had here in the studio, I'm like, yo, Frank, no, every time we get up, it's like 2-3 hours. Like
very much so.
Energy exchange, like we get it in.
Very much so.
So I'm like, yo, and it could probably just be because I don't have that, and because the deep going deeper rather than wide in my relationship is new. So just like how we sometimes say, like when in like church circles, right?
Yeah.
You say when it's that new believer, right? They mad, like we call it almost overzealous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm a new believer in this going over, deeper.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? Yeah. So I'm now overzealous. I'm hungry to do what maybe Frank has had a time that he's been doing for a while with other people. And maybe he has a degree of, you called it, you know, part of the hurdles being just time management maybe. Or maybe just Frank just got a season of, yo, but I journeyed my season of going deeper Free. You now there.
I think
so. Now we just might be at just different seasons, and so now I'm over here being sensitive, getting my feelings hurt. Where
expectations,
right? So Frank don't mean nothing by that, right?
Frank don't just,
exactly, right? But but I'm more and more having my mindset and perspective refocus in the way how it came out today in the show Are you doing this for an expected outcome? Or are you doing this just to be the light, be the sun, right? So I want to position myself more and more as I dare to be deeper rather than why, to just desire to be a light in Frank's life, in DJ's life, like the way a light lamp in a room sits patiently in the same corner of the room every day and night as people come in and leave. Mm-hmm. And the light, the lamp doesn't get angry if nobody goes to it and turn it on. It just stays available. It just stays present so that when anybody feels like they need some light, they can simply go to the lamp for the source. And so that's what I want to simply be.
That's the realest thing.
I know. That's part of the human condition. When I think when you see about individuals that have like servant leadership mindsets,
and that's what God always
that they always become the light that always turns on, but it's not fed. Mm. No one's not paying those bills.
That's real.
And that's where I realized in removing expectation was I was getting mad because I kept the lights on Motel 8 and it wasn't working. It wasn't working for me. And so I had to figure out, like, well, what are you willing to do in changing your mindset so that you stop having these? Because what I would do is I would burn the house down in a relationship because I need to teach you that I'm available. Right?
Like, if I not, teach you.
I need to teach you. Don't do this again.
Don't do
that. So don't. I don't want you. I don't.
Don't do that.
Because I don't want to have an expectation. So the only way to teach you not to do this again is to
burn
this thing down. Like right. Just like, hey, you don't got to talk to me no more.
Yo,
I just need to. I got to burn it down though. But dang. that was real.
Yeah. Yo, I'm gonna let you have the last word, Frank. Before we wrap,
I think it's really dope. As we're just talking about this conversation deeper than rather than wide. It's kind of bringing full circle. There was definitely a time I stepped away from being, I guess, out in front all the time, right? And started, you know, picking up a camera and helping folks. And that season of my life was really about being there for folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally. So I had this reputation of always showing up. And it's just really because, you know, when you think about going deep rather than wide, that has to do a lot with you can't expect love when you don't show it. Mm. So it's like, how do you want people to show up for you? However it happens, I hope that I put enough out into the universe, in the atmosphere, that I get the boomerang effect of the way that I show up in people's lives. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
So if I'm always, you know, Frank, one thing about Frank, they know whether I'm on time or not, I'm going to be there. It's going to be one thing. I'm going to show up.
That's a fact.
I'm going to move heaven and hell to show up. But I'm going to be there.
Yo, I found the episode with Frank, y'all. For those listening, I want y'all to catch that past episode with Frank Brady here. Episode 49. Oh, yeah. It was called Balance and Depth of a Lion Tamer. Mm-hmm. Yo, that episode is fire. Yo, make sure y'all catch episode 49.
That was a fun episode.
Yo.
That was a fun episode.
Balance and Depth of a Lion Tamer. I probably got to run that one back myself. But, yo, appreciate y'all brothers for coming in on such short notice. I definitely hit both of these dudes up the same day today. So hats off to them, man. Hats off to Frank. Like my man DJ said, I'm really exaggerating. I bust Frank's chops more than he deserved just messing around with him. But as you can see, he showed up.
It's all love.
He showed up. Even though he was late, he showed up. And I can't, how can I knock that? This dude showed up the day of that I hit him up. Like, come on.
Make that room.
Yeah, so.
He would make room for what's important for them.
And I know he's that dynamic. Like, Frank had six other things he could be doing right now. Equally, our PhD right here, who got a whole entire family. This dude, he coming straight from kids' baseball. I'm texting him. He like, yo, I could try to get you in after baseball practice. I'm like, look at this dude. That's what I'm talking about right here.
Yeah.
So let the people know where they can, I guess, catch up with you gentlemen on social media maybe or website.
You can catch up with me at everything Frank E. Brady, www.frankebrady.com, Instagram at Frank E. Brady, Facebook Frank E. Brady, LinkedIn Frank E. Brady.
Frank E. Brady.
I don't even know my handles.
You can catch up with him on soon-to-be www.drdonmacaulay.com.
So it's going to be the DJ podcast. It's going to be Athlete Alliance Foundation, Athlete Alliance Sport Consulting. You can catch me on the Quinnipiac website, assistant professor at School of Business, leader School of Business. I think I'm around. So or you can contact Frank.
And he'll Big be facts. Close nearby.
Walking over here.
always outside.
Yo, Thank y'all, man. Till next time. Oh, you know what? I almost forgot that fast. I almost let y'all get away without leaving the people with the free food for the soul, y'all. It's like we every episode we end, we're giving people something edifying for the soul. We got to be extra quick. Frank, give me something.
Let's just say what I said earlier. Never green light people to play with you when it comes to your time, your money, and your opportunities. Tell them to play with toys, but don't toy with you.
Facts. Give it to them, DJ.
Remember that you will always find your character and find yourself in the deep end. So learn how to swim, function, have a quality circle, but the deep end is where it's at.
That's free lunch, free food for your soul, y'all. Peace.